Hello and welcome to episode 128.
Sorry.
All right, I got to start that over.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 128 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomic hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, and with me is Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And we also have Terry Blauer of... Do you have a quicker URL?
Girlomatic.com/Godseeker.
Well, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
This week, we are looking to talk about organizing yourself. And ironically, this show is almost very disorganized, as most of our episodes tend to be. But we're going to take our best crack at it, and I'll be checking the chat room. If anybody in the chat room has any comments or ideas about what we're talking about, go ahead and send a message to Fessworks on Skype. And if you have a more specific comment, I'll for sure see it there. And if you actually do want to talk about your particular methods, you know, let me know on Skype, and I can get you on the show that way to... talk about whatever it is you do. Yes, TooManyThingsToList.com is unavailable because I actually own it. I just don't have it directed anywhere yet. I figured it'd be easier and funnier to mention. Let's see here.
FessyWigCentral.com is available. I think you should do that one. That would be cool.
Well, already. No way. I got too many. You know how many URLs I own? I own way too many. I think it's 10 right now.
I might have you beat. I have a bunch that I just don't do anything with.
Why do you have a whole bunch of URLs?
Because I was like planning to do stuff with them and then never get around to it.
I've only.
But I don't want to. I don't want to just let them expire because, well, maybe I'll get around to doing some of that. But you probably never will. But it'd be nice.
That's exactly like the problem I have with organizing craft supplies. I could use this eventually. Maybe someday.
Oh, man.
Button could be imperative.
See, I moved about a month ago. I'm still not fully moved in, though I'm like 90% moved in to the point where, okay, I can just leave that for another couple of weeks. But Terry, you're moving like right now.
Yes. We just put together the couch last night. My living room is still mainly boxes, so...
So, you're having a little bit more fresher in your mind about organization, and but let's start with how many boxes of art supplies did you actually box up?
Okay, mine or mine and my wife's?
Both. I'll ask.
I'm guessing grand total about six.
Six boxes.
Basically, six to eight.
Was there anything you threw away? Or got rid of before you started boxing?
Yeah, we did a major stuff purge about a month before, and I realized a bunch of these materials, you know, I didn't even remember I had them. That probably means I'm not going to use them.
You find, like, weird, like, old supplies that you just kind of hook on, like, you know, like, glitter and Elmer's glue, you know craft stuff.
I apparently own four hot glue guns.
Four?
I don't know why I owned four hot glue guns. I think I just kept losing them and replacing them without finding them instead.
Yeah.
And some extremely old sketchbooks. Really, really old sketchbooks. We're talking middle school.
But you kept those, right?
I did keep them, but I decided they could go into sort of deep storage and not be living in my immediate vicinity. They probably don't need to be in my living room right every moment of the day.
I had a friend, she moved, and everything in her kitchen was all gadgets. I mean, she had boxes and boxes and boxes, maybe 20 boxes of just kitchen gadgets. Not just spoons and mixing spoons and spatulas and stuff, but all kinds of different cookie cutters and egg slicer gadgets and just
she
sort of...
She watch a lot of, like, you know, late night commercials, infomercials.
Stuff like that, like, you know, as seen on TV type crap.
The magic bullet.
The salad spinners and the... Just tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff.
Salad shooter.
She might have been obsessive compulsive with her stuff. I know I can be.
Mark, you actually live in a house, and if you ever had to move out, are you going to be terrified to look through your stuff and see what, like, what you have?
No, I do have a plan. If I have to move, I'll be able to take care of everything with just one box.
What?
It's a box of matches. That would take care of everything, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. I'd miss a whole hell of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But that may be the only way. I think I'm on the verge of becoming one of those hoarders.
Oh, you have one of those TV interventions.
I guess that's what I need. I don't know. I have mostly... I do have boxes around in the house, but they're mostly like DVDs and stuff. I do have a lot of art supplies, though. Mostly watercolor paper that I've never gotten around to using. Just sort of... They're boxed in those flat boxes they ship it in, and it's sort of off in the corner there. And I have tons and tons of the stuff and never seem to use it.
I found a giant stockpile of comic book paper when we were moving. Like, it must be $200 worth of... Deleter comic book paper that I
oh wow
just found. I think I bought
it. Do you use it? Do you use it anymore?
Web comic. I don't need all that bleed zone and everything, but it's such nice paper. I couldn't just get rid of it. So
I remember once I had once I moved and I had a bunch of crap like that, photographic supplies and stuff like that. I just wasn't going to use or make any use of. So I donated it to the local university, to their art department. So at least you know it's going to get some kind of use out of it. Somebody will find a use for it if you donate it to a place like that.
My dream is that the Black Hat Collective that I'm a part of will eventually do another book, and I'll just donate it all to that because we'll need it for doing the book, another anthology or something.
That's a good call.
Because I'm never going to use it.
Yeah, it's like my paper. I'm never going to use all that watercolor paper. But I wanted to try it because, hey, that one looked different, and it's cheap. I'll try that one, and... Now I just have tons and tons. Or there's another problem where I found one that I really liked, and I only have like 3 sheets left. I can't waste it. So I just never use it.
I actually bought some watercolor paper because there's like the place is called Crafts Direct, and occasionally they have like any one item 40% off. And so I was like, okay, I'll get some watercolor paper and I'll try that out. And so I got some, and then I lost it. And then it happened again, like, the next month, so I went to go buy some, then I got it, then I look, oh, there it is, right where I set the other one.
Of course.
And I also got some acrylic paint and some watercolor paint, like, little tiny tubes, and really, really cheap. So I was like, I'm going to, like, do something with watercolors, but then comic went on hiatus, and then all this other stuff, and... So I never got around to it. So right now, after I moved, I know it's somewhere... it's probably in the last several boxes I need to go through yet. Otherwise, reorganizing everything has been really great. I got a lot of plastic tubs from Target, and things. I've been getting rid of a lot of cardboard boxes. The last place the living room is huge, and all we did was just hide a bunch of boxes behind the couch because we didn't need the couch that far away. So we just saved onto these boxes for like 2 years, because we. Figure we're moving again, so might as well save the good boxes. But so that's as much as organizing that I can get is planning for when I move, is to have the tools to move the crap I have. But I'm notoriously horrible at organizing my space, and right now it's basically I have a shelf for bills and paycheck stubs. They just kind of go there until I organize it and put it in a file cabinet over here. But we're talking about organizing yourselves for your art station, your comic creation zone. tools, supplies. Terry?
Yep.
How do you prepare your area?
I'm proud to say I am finally, after all this time, in the process of assembling my ideal workstation. This is the one I've dreamt about, and now finally this place, I'm actually putting it together. I've had sort of things similar in the past, but I have this weird sort of inherited aversion to chairs. I don't like them. Okay. I know that sounds weird. I hate chairs. I won't sit in them. I don't like chairs. I don't like desks. So I don't have one.
Do you watch too much Pee-wee's Playhouse, maybe? Or
could be. I remember
Furniture's Alive.
So that was creepy. What we got this time is instead of buying a couch for our new living room, we actually got an IKEA day bed with storage underneath. It's the IKEA Hemnes two-drawer day bed. That's what Lisa's been assembling for me. And this way I can sort of stretch out and move around and sit with my legs out and lay on my stomach. I tend to sit in weird positions while I draw. I think it's because I've got, my legs fall asleep really easily. And then all of the art supplies go in an organized fashion in the drawers right under me. So I just have to reach down and pull out a drawer, and there's a large drawer full of my art supplies. And then next to it goes the file cabinet of the completed pages. And then next to the bed is the cork board that I can pin up old pages on so I can keep my references going. So I won't make so many continuity errors as I did in earlier pages because I don't have a very good memory.
That's a very good idea, having pin board with the things you need to know and remember.
Yeah.
I will say that I've had a problem, especially since my comic is, it's a hobby comic, so it's prone to hiatuses a lot. Usually whenever I come back from a long one, I tend to end up recapping without thinking about it because I forgot where I ended. I don't reread the comic to see where I left off, and I'm like, wait a minute, they already talked about this. No. So yeah, that's another thing. If you are gonna go on hiatus or whatever, or if you have to go back to something that you did like a side story for, go back and reread your comic just to make sure.
Just to make sure.
Mark, what about you?
What? What do you mean? What? Like stories?
No, I mean like your work area.
Well, it's very cluttered. It's not very efficient. I have, it's also a room full of clutter anyway, but that's another story. But what I have is I have a small stand on my right where I have pencils and junk and watercolor stuff. Then I have a drawing table that's kind of a cheap one that I got for my mom. I've had it forever. And then on the other side, I have another thing with drawers in it where, I just toss stuff on top of it. Triangles and rulers and assorted junk and watercolor stuff and whatever is sort of a junk station. Then again, everything in my house is sort of a junk station. That's disturbing. Oh. But that's my workstation. And then off on the side there is the computer station with the scanner and all that crap, which is also covered in clutter.
how do you actually store your art supplies? Do you have them like in drawers and boxes then, or
all of the above? I have a lot of watercolor paints from Daniel Smith. So I'm a bit obsessive compulsive, so I bought most of what they had over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have those in pencil cases, like the cheap dollar pencil case you get at Garbage Mart.
Yeah.
I've got some in cigar boxes that I got at the cigar store for free.
Ooh, that's a cool
idea. I bet I could get all my Prismacolors in one of those.
Yeah.
They smell nice.
Are you smelling your markers, Mark?
No, I meant the boxes. I had a couple of boxes that were... there's a certain brand of cigar I would smoke that was, flavored and stuff that wasn't wasn't like your regular old cigar.
Is the brand Sharpie, Mark?
No, it's called Acid, actually.
Whoa, jeez.
But there was one box that I've never really had enough money to buy one, but I splurged and gave myself a treat one year. And when I was done with them, it just smells really nice. You know, I go, where's that ultramarine blue? Open it up. Ah, smells like those cigars.
Nice way to keep calm while drawing, I guess.
Yes. Actually, as a tangent, I would say that one of my favorite smells is a box of Crayola crayons.
Oh, that
smells
classic.
Just like it did when I was a little kid. They do. I don't know if it's the paper. I don't know if it's a box. I don't know if it's the wax they use, which that's all a crayon is wax and dye. But nothing smells like a box of Crayola crayons. Oh.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've ever had to work with crayons. I think all my crayons now, if I have any, are just kind of in a bag somewhere, and it just they're all like destroyed looking and everything. You know, it's probably from when I was a kid.
I have like some plastic boxes you get at the Garbage Mart type of thing with a lid on it. You know, little boxes like shoebox size. I've got a bunch of that. I got some stuff in drawers. I've got some stuff in boxes. It's just all over the place. But yeah, cigar boxes you could probably get for free at a cigar store because they're just otherwise would go in the trash.
And that's a really handy size for paints and things. Oh,
yeah.
One other thing, I'm going to personally recommend this one organizational thing, and that is keep the stuff you use constantly in one place and the stuff you don't use often someplace else out from underfoot.
My
art supplies, but my comics, they have to live in the den closet where I'm not tripping over them and contributing to them constantly, and just the comic stuff gets to live in the living room with me on a regular basis because I just can't handle that clutter everywhere. And then I know if I'm just gonna like decide suddenly I just have to have crayons or something and just rip apart my living room looking for crayons, and I just don't need to do that.
I have to have crayons.
That's another thing I actually found while packing was a big old 96 box of Crayola color crayons.
Ah, Crayolas.
I don't think they scan too well if you do a crayon art.
I haven't tried.
Well,
I'm not sure if anybody knows of any crayon made comics. I mean, actual crayon, not Photoshop brush type.
Wasn't the artist Mankey? Wasn't that
I'm not
partially
sure.
done with crayons? I know they used watercolor on it.
But. It'd be something to look at, but I also did like colored pencils at one type and scanned it and just really didn't look all that good. So maybe there's a style to
keep in mind it's wax.
Right. Probably
so
shines off a bit.
Depending at what angle it is, what as the scanner passes through, its angle of view might change, which means the reflectivity might change.
Right.
As it passes.
I don't imagine that wax can't be good for your scanner bed either.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. that happens with my watercolors sometimes. You get spots, not spots and things, but you know, it leaves gunk behind sometimes, or the gum on the edge of the paper in a block of paper or pad of watercolor paper, that'll leave sticky crap on your screen. Or on the glass, like you say, the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe, who's from alloverthehouse.net, says that her comic Knob Mouse, early Knob Mouse was crayoned, and they scan well if you remember to adjust the colors, is what she says. Which is certainly because then you're going from, you know, essentially CMYK, real color, to RGB. Computer light color, so that might be an issue as well. But let's see, as far as my art space, well, actually right now, since I actually haven't been doing a whole lot of drawing, it's kind of vacant of art for right now, but usually I'll have like a shelf where I'll have some paper, and I have a couple of little cups with assorted pens and ink pens that I'll use. But my main art thing is I have a messenger bag, an over-the-shoulder bag, that basically is my to-go art bag when I take to work, because I have time at work in order to work on stuff. And I just have folders, which I just put my finished art in when I'm done, extra paper. There's an extra slot in there. I have all the different... I took a fishing box, like a plastic little fishing kit, which has like adjustable areas to put stuff in. And I took most of the dividers out, and you just put pens in there and everything. And I for erasers, I use those little eraser tips that you stick on the back of pencils, because, you know, those little mm-hmm. pointed ones. That's the best way of getting, like, fine erasing done if I need to. And a pencil sharpener. And that fits all this nice little plastic box. So just shove that in there. And that's really the extent of my main art supplies. I get everything else I have, which is not frequently used, is in a, like, a plastic tub in the closet. And so I don't have that much as far as, like, some other people may have. So it's a bit easier for me to go and find some stuff as long as I put it away.
I think streamlining is a good thing. Like that's the like what you got with the portable, and then everything else is mm-hmm. kind of kept out of the way a little bit. Caboodle's box.
Is somebody, what is a Caboodle's box?
They're like pencil boxes, aren't they?
Oh, those little plastic. Yeah, I think I have a bunch of... I think I store my batteries in those.
Every girl from the 90s got one full of, like, cheap makeup at some point in some point in their childhood.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to hear some call-ins from people telling us about their work area.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
There we go. Always worrying about that. We're going to go through the list of people that said they wanted to call in, and so we're going to start with calling with Ben Carver once again of, MajesticKnightComic.com. Hey,
that's
Ben.
That's correct.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going good. Now, you tell me you have quite a workstation. Is that correct?
Yes, I have quite a workstation and work and process to start my week. It's my workstation itself it's a $100 L-shaped computer desk from Staples, I believe. I bought 2 years ago. Not the sturdiest, but it's still standing, so it works good. It's my computer's on the main large part of the L shape.
Mm-hmm.
The monitor's elevated. It actually has an elevated shelf. That's where I have my monitor and my two front speakers. And my computer's like right underneath. And then I have my scanner, copier, printer on the junction section, you know, the floating midsection. And then the shorter side is where I do all my drawing. Right next to that is a bookshelf that has all my drawing supplies right there. That's a little bit taller than the actual table itself, but not so much tall as I notice it.
Does the table have like another tier to it, like shelves along the back that go up above the main table?
It's a $100 table. It doesn't have all those kind of frills, but
I wasn't entirely sure. But I have a corner desk that's kind of rounded, and I got the I got the floor model for $100, and it's huge. But
no, I moved into my apartment on a budget, and but my actual comic process is to get started in the week, not drawing the comics themselves, but to get started, I always use a Strathmore brand. Smooth finished Bristol board. You know, it's a
mm-hmm.
That's what the professionals use or are supposed to be using. It's a
yeah.
I buy pads, 20 sheets per pad. I go to the local FedEx Kinko's, have them trim it out down to 8.5 by 11. And when I start my week, I have these pads, and I just take the paper, take two sheets, butt them up, and tape them together, flip them over, draw my guidelines, and then draw very rough sketches of what each page is going to be, and then I draw in my gutters, And if possible, I try to pencil one or two pages in on Sunday as well. And then that's my work on Sunday. It takes about an hour and a half.
Okay, so wait. You have two 8x11s and you tape them together?
Yes.
Do you have like one of those huge scanners then?
No. 8.5x11 is letter sized.
Okay. Oh, I see. So you'll scan it in two parts and then put it back together in the computer.
Yes.
Okay.
I can actually do that on my phone now because I have a Photoshop mobile on my phone.
Wow. That seems like it'd be really hard and finicky on a cell phone.
It's actually pretty smooth because my phone's not an iPhone. It works for a living. It's called a Droid. Incredible.
Oh, right. You won't stop talking about your fancy new Droid.
Did you know I could play SNES games on here and use a Wiimote as a control?
Yeah, so I can do that on a big giant TV in my living room.
I have the LG Ally. It works for me. But then I only just got it. But anyway.
Right, Mark just finally got a phone.
Yes, I finally got a cell phone. I've not had one in like forever, though I don't have anybody to call, really.
Aw.
It's kind of sad.
All right, so as far as Mark is not Mark, Ben, as far as planning your comic, like structuring it, do you have like a pin board and such with assorted notes or something? Or
I have something similar. What I have is when I'm for Majestic Night, I have an open office document on my computer. That's an outline of the upcoming issues. It's like issue one gives an issue title, gives a 2-3-sentence synopsis, so I know what's going up ahead. I have all 12 issues of Majestic Night, and yes, it is only going to run for 1 year. It all lined out like that, and that, you know, all I do is when I hit the second to last weekend of the month, I write the next issue. And for instance, last weekend I finished writing issue 5 of Majestic Night. Actually flowed together pretty well, a lot better than I expected, actually. And I write 22 pages per issue, just like a comic book, or, you know, and that's how it goes. And usually I try to send to an editor, but I've been short-staffed on editors lately, so I've just been going, this is pretty much raw. Majestic Night's pretty much entirely raw.
Majestic Night's gone wild.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a different kind of raw, sorry.
Yeah.
But other comics I've been working on have a lot more planning and collaboration and stuff. For instance, the newest collaborative work I'm working on is, and I just got the notice I can talk about it, is Crossover Kill, which is from the same fellows as Crossover Lord.
Crossover Lord.
That's right.
I just say it a little bit different, so I was confused. Okay.
And we have a lot of new people coming on. It's Energize is the guy who does Energize is coming on, mm-hmm. And we also have a very big name coming on. She announced it already, so I think it's safe for me to announce it. She announced it on her site, but we're actually going to have Kitty Hawk joining us of Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki.
That sounds cool. That one. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Gotcha.
Yes.
So with that, I know you mentioned before, because, you know, bring this full circle, that you were mentioning Google Docs or something like that as far as when you have to coordinate and plan with other people. This is also another important aspect of organization as well. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you coordinate with your peers there.
I use Google Apps. You get a Google Apps account if you own a domain. It's free, totally free, as long as your organization is less than like 10 employees, and if you're running a webcomic, I think it'll be hard to find 10 employees. So it's free, and you get all the apps. You get the Google Docs. You get the Gmail. You can actually get a Gmail account, a corporate Gmail account with your domain name. For instance, if you email ben@heroacademycomic.com, I get it. I have it set to all forward to my other Gmail account. You know, it just all plugs in together. Google just works that way. Which is why I got an Android phone.
I don't recall signing up for Google Docs first. I remember having an email address and then just signing into Google Documents. Is that the same thing? Or
Different. It's the same application, but different grouping. For instance, you can have a straight Google Docs account with your Gmail account.
And share
where you have documents, you can share them to certain people. But Google Docs on Google Apps is different because, for instance, I have script of Hero Academy all the way up to a certain point, mm-hmm. and it's on the Google Docs in our Google Apps, and I have set to share with people. My 2 hours can read it in real time, set annotations and notes to the side, say, what about this, what about that? They can read it in real time. It's all smooth, and it's also a shared. We also have a shared calendar where if they are going to a convention, they can mark it in the calendar. And I go, Pablo's going to a convention next week. I should tell him to print out some posters. And of course,
Google Docs is it's useful enough that I use it to collaborate with my wife on the comic, and we live together. That's what it. What is actually more straightforward than just, you know, regular leaving post-it notes or something on the kitchen. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I know we are contributing to the birth of Skynet, but it's so useful I don't care.
Me and my brother used to live together, and it was always I like tell him about this and that. Oh, you should check this out. And so just send me an email. And, you know, that's how I work with everybody else. If somebody's talking to me in IM and they're trying to tell me something I'm going to need to know later, I say, email it. I can at least search for it later.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that Google and Gmail does really well that a lot of other mail services either are refusing to do or some are just now catching on.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations versus individual emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I got a Gmail invite back when you kind of needed them, I was all over that. I mean, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, dude, I want that. I'm off of Yahoo, you know.
Do you have a Google Voice account yet?
I think, maybe.
You should totally get one because you can have all phones. You get one phone number, it rings all your phones. You can set it to ring certain phones on certain times of the day, and it transcribes your voicemails and sends them to you as emails or text messages.
I can't even get people to use the 1-320-310-0922, the call-in number for the Web Comic Beacon.
You can get a Google Voice number that's whatever beacon.
I have one already, and since I mean I'm paying for the Skype one right now, and I know that I think the Google Voice is free with an invite, but no one uses it, so I don't see the point really. Oh well, but some people they might find it more interesting. But we're gonna go ahead and move on. Ben, is there anything last things you want to say about Google Documents or such?
I think it's free to try, so you might as well try it.
Well, alrighty, Ben. Thank you very much for coming on the show and telling us about your organization.
Thank you.
Yeah. Once again, that's Ben at MajesticKnight.com.
MajesticKnightComic.com. Majestic Knight takes you somewhere else.
MajesticKnightComic.com. And I'm sure you can find links to his other projects there as well. Thanks once again, Ben.
Thank you.
All right. And now we are going to get another another person on the line. This is Alex Heberling of, well, she used to do a comic called Garanos, but that is completed. She's now doing something called Alex's Guide. And that's at alexsguide.net. Welcome to the show.
Alex? That's it. Yeah. Hello. Yeah,
there
hello.
You are. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So, workspaces.
Workspaces. Tell us about your workspace.
All right. Well, my workspace, I live in a one-bedroom apartment currently. So, my workspace is kind of out in my living room with my TV and everything. And my desk is actually a kitchen table that I got for $20 from someone on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
because my previous desk was this little itty-bitty thing that my sister gave me when I moved here, and it was not great. It was probably about 1.5 feet wide by 3 feet long, and I have two monitors and a desktop and a keyboard and a mouse and need drawing space and all sorts of things, so I traded up for this kitchen table that I'm using currently, which is much more spacious. It's very nice. And let's see, I have next to me is actually it's a TV tray, which has my scanner and sketchbook and some paper and little other knickknacks on it. And then on the other side of the table, I have a little side table with a couple drawers where I keep like financial things. And on top of it is my printer.
I'm trying to picture this whole thing. Do you have a pin board as well?
No, actually. Well, I do have a bulletin board in my kitchen, but I don't really use it for art stuff. I do most of my brainstorming and stuff in my sketchbook.
What about art supplies?
Yeah, what about art supplies?
Do you store those or do you even need those?
Yeah, are you all digital or?
Well, yeah, I'm mostly digital these days. With Alex's guide, though, I am back to inking on a regular basis, which is scary and fun. So I keep like my little art supplies in a little Sailor Moon pencil case, which
yes.
has pencils and highlighters and my inking Micron pens, which goes with me just wherever I go. I just toss it in my purse, and we're all good from there. And then any extra art supplies I have. It's basically a fancy tackle box that I got at an art store,
mm-hmm.
Which I used for school and stuff like that when I needed to cart all my supplies around.
Sounds like a lot of people have like portable versions of their studios as well.
At least a partial.
Yeah.
I don't use a huge variety of art supplies anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, mechanical pencils and some pens are pretty much the bulk of what I use.
I think I would like to see if anybody's listening to this show, and once the show is posted, if you want to either send us a picture or go ahead and post a picture in the comments of your desk, your work area. this could be cool to see and share with everybody. I know I have a picture somewhere of my desk from a couple of years ago, and it looks terrifying. it's all over the area, but it is my corner desk, which I love so much, but it's a pain in the ass to move because it's like 20 pieces of wood and screws. And
yeah, when I went to go pick up this table, which I use as a desk, mm-hmm. I had a four-door sedan, and I grossly underestimated the size of this table. somehow, my boyfriend and I, and the guy that I bought it from, got it into my car. And, like, Chris had to sit in the back seat while I drove, and the legs had to go in the trunk. But we kind of, like, were able to turn the tabletop, sideways. So it was kind of wedged in between the middle of the seats and the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty impressive.
Awesome. Yes, I'm getting buzzed by somebody.
The Red Baron, Snoopy, what?
Buzz.
Have to tell him I'm recording the beacon.
The Honey Nut Cheerio Bee? Is it?
Does anyone else keep little weird inspirational things around them? By their workstation, like art books, or I've got this whole box of fossils and bones and... like little carvings and things, little things that remind me of my comic to try and keep me. Am I the only one that does that? I'm just curious. Does anyone else keep little inspirational things around them, or are they more utilitarian?
Well, until very recently, the wall in front of my computer, I had a bunch of like my old artwork up and posters and stuff like that. But I'm also in the process of moving, so I took those down recently.
I have mostly clutter. I have mostly clutter around my workstation, which is not inspiring, I have to say. I just tune it out. I would make such a lousy parent. I would be the parent that goes to the mall and brings the kids and just let them raise all kinds of hell and then just like pretend you can't hear them.
Yeah, I hate those parents.
I would get yelled at you. I would yell at you. Yeah, you would get yelled at. Well, Alex, thank you very much for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me.
And you can check her current comic out at alexsguide.net?
Yep.
All right. Thanks once again, Alex.
All right, thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Once again, you can look for Festworks on Skype, or you can call at 1-320-310-0922. Now I'm all confused. I don't have to say the numbers. Oh, man.
But, no!
Yeah. I'm thinking about making a mobile site, mobile version of the webcomic Beacon, making a mobile browser for mobile phones. I'm thinking about it, unless there's somebody out there that can make apps for it. But cost is an issue, which is why I'm thinking of just making a mobile site. It essentially would consist of the latest episode, access to archive. They'd be tracked, basically links to the MP3s, so you can just download it, because you know, Flash doesn't work on mobile phones, so you can't just play unless there is a method to do so, but I have no idea. But, you know, something simple, very, very, very stripped down. But, you know, otherwise you can go on our website. You can probably just click on our RSS, but the thing would be having at least some images available for those that would like to check some of that out. Ben's telling me that Flash works on his mobile phone because it's an Android. I have an Android on my phone. Some Flash works, some Flash does not work. And
I think 2.2 will have actual Flash on it.
Yeah, I think I just still have Cupcake.
So. I don't. I can't get the Flash to work on mine yet because it's just, I think, 2.1. But that's another story.
You have 2.1? I have 1.6 yet, I think. I don't know. I'll have to take a look.
Mine's
at
a bit
it.
Newer.
Yeah, I couldn't stand any of the other phones. I got the Moto Click, the first-gen Moto Click, because every other keyboard sucked. I wanted a physical keyboard. This one actually felt good. The other one was like weird little oval buttons that were separated far away from these flat little... And the comma was in a stupid area. It was... You know, I don't know. I'm very picky. I'm not very easy to impress either. So.
I didn't like the Droid X because it was just a flat surface keyboard. I didn't care for that. The Ally, though, has... I mean, it's got the right size and the right shape and everything, for me.
Right.
Size keyboard. So I wanted a physical keyboard, too. Yeah. But anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to see what the hell we're going to be doing next.
What are we doing? Ah, gee.
It's never been a strong point to sell a lie. Feel safer by far to open up. Do you really want the real me to open that Pandora's box? Welcome. of myself till I bleed. You save me from myself till I.
That was Welcome to the Mess by The Livingstons at musicalley.com by Mivio. Yeah, sadly, Tanya could not be here with us right now because I had to change the timing of the broadcast this time. Let's see here. I got a couple of episodes coming up later this month. I think one of them was going to be a little bit later, but we'll be talking with some webcomic readers that at least the people that listen to this show might already be seen on Twitter, and they don't have their own webcomic. So this is total readers that we're going to be talking to. Audio Jam 68, we're going to see if he can come on. We also have, I forget if you can even say his name right, but his
M.
Twitter.
Kenyon?
Yeah, M. Kenyon. And also, I'm looking to get the guy from TGT. So Vertigo X is what some people have seen. Because he doesn't do a webcomic. But we'll see about all their schedules and see if and when we can get them all together. But I would like to hear readers specifically. And because that's a different angle. I think a lot of times when we're working in webcomics, especially the people that listen to this show and I talk to regularly, you know, we know a lot of other webcomickers and we converse with a lot of other webcomickers. But, you know, I don't know how much we talk with our readers on a regular basis or not, or when we talk to each other about how to do webcomic stuff. It's like, what do the readers think when you make a site? What do they want to see on a site versus what other peers tell you what they want to see on a site? So it could be very informative. I'm looking forward to that. And we got a couple of others being planned. We got somebody I'm going to get on the show that knows a bit about other ways to make a comic management site that doesn't use Webcomic Inkblot or Comic Press, because I would like to let people know about other options as well. And from there, we actually might go over some organization tools. Erica Vexern, EXIERN, I believe, .com, and sent me a big list of productivity tools, he says, and he actually put it on a spreadsheet with an type, name, link, overview, selling point, and drawback, and there's not really a lot of time to go through it on this show, but it's something where I think it's enough that these are tools that web, you know, a lot of people can use, not just webcomickers, and we'll go over these a little bit more on another episode. You know, we talked a bit about Google Docs already, but these are some other ones. You know, file management, feedback management, task management,
Can I suggest one, actually?
Yes.
Lisa, my writer, uses Scrivener for the scripts.
How do you spell that?
You're asking the dyslexic to spell. S-C-R-I-V-E... Whatever.
like the newspaper chain, right?
Scrivener. Okay, I can type
with a
it. S C R I V N E R. Oh yeah. Okay. Zoe K R is probably right. There's probably E N E R. And that is a wonderful program. It lets you do outlines, take notes. It does script format, and it can keep a lot of outlines and notes and scripts in one document, and let you switch back and forth between the different parts of the document. And also lets you post things on a little digital bulletin board. It's a really great program. It does cost money. It's like $30 for 3 downloads, though. So you go in with it two other friends, and you got a $10 program that's really, really been helpful. It also is very good about saving separate drafts, which can be really useful. So that's just a great program for keeping organized if you're a sort of story-based, complicated plot writer.
Certainly something to I'll add to the list, and I'll end up putting a link to this list. It's a Google Doc, basically. I made it a spreadsheet, and I'll post this list with when we post this show, so people can take a look, and post comments if you want to add something to it, or if you see something on the list that you know and you use a lot, because we'll also be looking for call-ins for people that know and use this a lot, so they can comment a little bit more on what is already been researched by Eric here. I think this would be a great show. We'll probably end up having it this month yet. And once I solidify a couple more segments, I will update webcomicbeacon.com/calendar so people can see when and where our next episodes will be broadcasting and recording. So, excellent. Now we're in the third segment of the show, so we all know what that means. It's time to see who's giving us money. That's right. It's time to look at our Project Wonderful ads at webcomicbeacon.com. Every Sunday we go over when we are recording of who's currently advertising on the show. So that's excellent for those who All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net. Zoe is taking up our main advertisement at the top of the page. And also we have this, a new ad. I haven't seen this in a while, but it's called, what is it, Lihoism? A logical eclectic heading Akbam. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but that's at Tumblr. People should know what Tumblr is. Tumblr, and then it's .lehoism.net. And real quick, speaking of Tumblr, Comics Tavern has moved off of Tumblr. So if you have old Comics Tavern links, you'll have to change the beginning URL to the old Tumblr. And I will put this in the show notes as well so people can find Comics Tavern. And last but not least, our ad at the bottom of every single post is the Oswald Chronicles at theoswaldchronicles.com. I've seen them advertising for a bit here before as well. So those are our current advertisers. Thanks very much for bidding on our Project Wonderful ads, and everyone should go check those out.
Milestones fast.
Consumerism. Oh, milestones. Okay, let me just log out of... Nope. Let's see here. I didn't get any milestones, but I did get a webcomic that emailed me in completely Comic Sans.
Okay. That went to the spam folder, right?
No.
We do have a milestone, though.
We do have a milestone.
Yeah. Luke's Earl is 1 year old. Theoretically.
What do you mean, theoretically?
Yes. Or is it 2 years old? Well, anyway, go check it out at lukesearl.com.
Oh, Luke's... Okay, gotcha. That's
pretty sure that's a year old now.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, good on that. And if anybody has milestones, like 100, 200, 500,000, or, you know, an anniversary, go ahead and email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Some people do send us press releases and other news that I don't particularly that I may not actually mention on the show because I feel it's more of like an advertisement thing. But I've been this kind of picky ever since episode 20, I think. So that's just how things are. But I did get, if anybody out there has any, like, really good experience with, like, say, Facebook fan pages, or has some really cool tactics with using Twitter to, like, educate people that may not really know how to work with Facebook or Twitter or some other sort of promotional tool. If you have a forte for a promotional web tool out there or you know, one of those social networking sites, send us an email as well. I'm looking to get some people on that really know this sort of thing and could educate some people about that and come on the show about that. And I think a lot of people would have some interest in that as well. So go ahead and send an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And I think we're about done for this week. I can't think of... I feel like we're forgetting something.
We never really talked about any of that time organization, but I think the time has passed for that.
yes.
Organize our time accurately for that.
I didn't think about that. I would never think about that. But, you know, we have some time yet, so we, yeah, definitely give yourself some time to work on stuff. I think it's kind of a rule of thumb if you're doing webcomics more as, you know, you want to make something of it versus, you know, just as a hobby. The advice I always hear is treat it as a second job. Set it some time to actually, okay, you're going to be spending X amount of hours a day, 4 or 6 hours a day, whatever it needs for what the work you need to do, because, you know, if you want to do make something more of it, you kind of have to treat it as work. Terry, what do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. Which is great, because this year it meant I had 2 full-time jobs that didn't pay me.
I only have one right now.
I was an intern this whole past year, and they didn't pay me, and I worked full-time, so I got to have 2 unpaid full-time jobs. But I only do a page a week, so I have a little bit of leeway. But, for example, toning is always Monday night. I reserve my Monday night for that. Mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon gaming is usually inking. I game almost every Sunday afternoon. Not this week, luckily. But
what do you mean game?
Tabletop gaming. That is a great thing to do while you're drawing. I'm big on multitasking while I'm drawing. I'm usually either watching television or at tabletop gaming, or we call it accountability-ing, where the Black Hat Collective gets together and is social while drawing, because otherwise we'd be a bunch of misanthropes. And we would have no one to call us. So, yeah, I'm big on, if you are someone who can, I think being able to multitask is great, because, yeah, you need to be able to set aside specific amount of time for this, because I'm proud to say that in 2 weeks I'll have been doing this for a year and I have never missed an update, and that is because partly because I'm big on buffer and partly because I make it a point to set aside and make it a priority to get these pages done.
Partly because it's weekly too.
Yes, also because it's weekly. But the pages take me about 14 hours a pop to make, so.
Right. That is another thing that we'll be talking about on a future episode. Hopefully August or September, we'll be talking about buffers for part of it, as well as update schedule.
Buffers are the best.
Buffers are the best. And I think we'll have Ben Carver on for that show again, because he has lots of opinions about it, too, since I will say that he does like several pages, like I think he had like 30 pages of his comic done or something, like something ridiculous, you know, large, before he even like put it up online, like any of it.
I had 45, but that's because we couldn't figure out how to make a web page for a long time.
That's so the way to do it.
Yes. Ideally it would be best, I mean, if you could do the whole thing, like even if you could do 5 years worth of it before you could start, hey, that'd be great. And you don't have to worry about anything for, like, a long time. But, you know, a lot of people just, like, want to share their work, like, as soon as possible. So, but we'll talk about that on another show. Check the chat room one more time. Once again, we do record and broadcast live every episode, unless something comes up. But typically, you go to webcomicbeacon.com/live, join our Ustream chat room. And, you know, talk about stuff. And again, if you have something relevant to comment on during the show, go ahead and send a message to Fessworks on Skype. And I'll comment a reference, or if it's something a little bit more, you know, I could get you on the show for a call-in. Or you could actually call 1-320-310-0922 and leave a voicemail about one of our past episodes or coming episodes. Give us your comments and such. Please. Please, somebody call that number and leave a message. But, let's see here. Tree Lobsters says that he has about 2 months in the buffer. You also just do cut paste too, dude. Yeah, anyone seen Tree Lobsters? It's these, what is it, plastic toy lobsters that are photoshopped over like a... It's a bush, not a tree. It's a shrub. Shrubbery! So anyway, so because I made fun of you a little bit there, you know, I'll put Tree Lobsters in the link for you, you know, treelobsters.com. There you go. Anyway, I should stop putting, yeah, he's laughing. I should stop insulting our listeners and go ahead and say that this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Terry of Godseeker. Girlomatic.com/Godseeker.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
You would see me in a forest of boxes with no...
I want to learn, not just
stop
how to take
this.
Tests.
I can't skip this. I can't
George
stop
George Bush's
it.
No Child Left Behind is hurting our kids. Tom...
Stupid little ad that
how
just...
How old is that?
Okay, I have it muted now, so... I don't actually have...
I want to learn.
Son
I
of a
teach.
Bitch.
How to...